Hallelujah. Would you just extend your heart before the Lord and just thank him. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the revelation we're getting this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to worship in spirit and truth with the family of God. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to begin to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth like we've never seen it before. And so that is why we give. That is why we faithfully give. That is why we joyfully give. That is why, Lord, we choose to respond with an obedient, generous heart and give our tithes, give our offering, give our seed, give our alms in such a manner that, Lord, we pray for a continuous wisdom upon the leaders of our congregations, the leaders of our churches, to steward the finances so that, Lord, your glory is the only thing that remains in the name of Jesus, that your word is the only word that is preached. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for the households that are represented here today in their giving, that, Lord, they would know that the storehouses of heaven are opened up, that the abundant blessing of the Lord is without limitation, and that, Lord, in their obedience and in their generosity, they would see their children walk with you in joy and faithfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for our local pastors, specifically James and his wife. And we thank you for our local missionaries that choose to preach the gospel to the different people groups and the different sects of our society. And so we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Bless those ushers, not just with your offering, but with a smile. And would you grab your Bibles and welcome Pastor Mike this morning.
Amen. Amen. Hi, guys.
Amen.
Hi, Dean. Thanks. Glad to be home. Yes, Dean. Do it quickly.
When I was a teenager, I always liked Valley Christian, but now it's not going to be called Valley Christian. It's going to be Echo Hills Church. Since I've been here, I'm going to miss Valley Christian Center. And now it's going to be Echo Hills Church.
Okay, but everybody from Valley Christian Center will still be here.
Yeah.
So they will still be family.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Can we bless Dean? Thanks, Dean. Hey, we're going to show a video real quick to kind of get us going on our topic for the day. You'll probably recognize it.
He'll announce it at once.
Go ahead and cut the lights, and let's look at this real quick.
I've as good as got my brain.
I can barely hear my heart beating.
I'll be home in time for supper.
In another hour, I'll be king of the forest. Long live the king.
If I were king of the forest, not queen, not duke, not prince, my regal robes of the forest would be satin, and not a cotton, and not chintz. I'd command each thing, be it fish or fowl, with a woof and a woof and a royal growl. As I click my heel, all the trees would kneel, and the mountains bow, and the bulls kowtow. And the sparrow would take wing. Fie, were king. Rabbit would show respect to me. The chipmunks genuflect to me. Though my tail would lash, I would show compassion for every underling. Fie, were king. Just king. I shall reign. Ha 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 ha.
Your Majesty, if you were a king, you wouldn't be afraid of anything?
Not nobody. Not no how.
Not even a rhinoceros?
Impossible.
him from top to bottom.
Supposing you met an elephant?
I'd wrap him up in cellophane.
What if it were a brontosaurus?
I'd show him who was king of the forest.
How?
How? Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apron cuffs? What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage.
You could say that again.
We are children of the King. We are the ones who carry authority and power. And I showed that video because often we are like, until certain situations, what do they have that I ain't got? Courage. The Lord has been showing me over and over again for the last 6 to 8 weeks, the same word, courage. Guess what we're going to be talking about? Courage. We're living in a time and a place where we are people of need of courage. And what was just going to be a one-moment thought, I think it's going to be a number of thoughts on courage. That in our world today, we have already gotten there where the Christian message is not only just ignored, it's being challenged and even violently opposed. And not in certain places like Africa or the Middle East or something, but in the United States of America, if you stand up for the person of Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted for it. We're not going to go back to the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s where the moral majority and everybody, you know, you're a Christian, that's all cool and well-respected. We have moved into a season in our world where as Christians of Jesus Christ, if we are really going to live the message of Jesus Christ, you and I are going to go through persecution. Oh, welcome back to vacation, Mike. Thanks very much. And we must be people of courage. And I have got probably more notes than we have time in. Brought two Bibles even, so it's going to be about 3:30 we'll be done today. Haven't taught in about 6 weeks, so it's like, bleh. But I'm going to focus just on one thing. I'm going to take this, I'm going to condense it down. That we as people of God have got the person of God living within us. And the person of God living within us is the energy and the power of courage in our world. I'll refer to a couple things. Paul said it to Timothy in 2 Timothy, you don't have to put it up, 2 Timothy chapter 3. There will be terrible times in the last days. So that's, I can't go against the Bible. The Bible says in the last day, it's going to be terrible times. The culture of our society is going to be difficult for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. But we don't have to become part of that culture. We're not even counterculture. We bring in a culture of the kingdom, and that culture comes through courage. And a lot of times what I hear Christians doing in the time of the difficulties of our culture, we're making comments, we're doing commentary in our culture and not saying what God is saying about what he wants to do through our lives in our culture. And so we're going to go to this one point. I've got about 4 points. We're going to go to 1 point this morning. Go with me to the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 2. Everybody good today? So good seeing you this morning. The book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll be bringing up some other thoughts as the days are ahead, Lord willing. In Acts chapter 2, and just for time, we're going to be reading portions of the story. We'll be in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. We're going to be just reading portions of the story again. And in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Acts 1:14, they were together in prayer. In one place, suddenly, say suddenly with me. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the Pentecostals anthem right here. We believe today that God still fills his people with the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the physical evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is you get a prayer language. You get to speak in another tongue. It's the physical evidence. It's not, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because my body does this. Well, that person's arm's moving. That's the physical evidence of the infilling. No, we believe that the physical evidence is that we get a prayer language. It's the physical evidence, but not the only evidence of the Holy Spirit. So as they begin to declare in the Holy Spirit, the people who heard the wind, they were drawn to this place, this upper room where they had gathered. They were, all this crowd of people, could have been 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 10,000. We don't know how many people gathered. We know that at least 3,000 responded to a message, but the indicates there was a lot more than 3,000 that showed up. So they come and they hear the disciples as they're declaring, speaking in an unknown tongue. They're declaring the wonders of God in about 13 different languages. So then people are going, I'm amazed by this. What's going on? And as they begin to declare the wonders of God, people are drawn to this. What is going on? And if you pick up the story in verse 13, it says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Now understand, with that many people in the crowd, this wasn't a couple of guys, a couple of kind of dorky guys going, I bet they're drunk. They're drunk. This had to begin to murmur throughout the crowd. This had to become something that drew away the attention of the glory of God to the mocking of what God was doing. Because it's during the mocking that Peter stood up and addressed the mocking of what God was doing. And he said, people of Jerusalem, fellow Israelites, this is, we'll read it. He says, fellow Jews and all in verse 14 who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I am saying. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all people. So what does Peter do when he's filled with the Holy Spirit? One of the evidences, let me go ahead and move ahead to our story. One of the evidences of a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit is they are bold enough to tell the truth, even when it's difficult to tell the truth. There's a boldness and a courage to say, this is how it is. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? One of the evidences that you can gauge by is how willingly are you to boldly proclaim the truth of God in a difficult situation? What kind of courage do you have in that moment, at that time, where you need to say something that is true, even though it's not the popular thing to say? So Peter stands up and he begins to, from the Old Testament, from the prophet Joel, he begins to lay out what God was doing. And then we're going to move ahead in the story to verse 22. Look at the courage of Peter and the apostles. Look at, they don't mince words. They don't just kind of soften the message. Look what Peter says when he stands up in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. He says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. So in that crowd, could there be people who were actually healed by Jesus? In that crowd, could there be people who partook of the bread and the fish, the 5,000? Could there be people there who saw the miracles and signs and wonders of Jesus? Absolutely. And Peter says, you saw that God accredited him as the Savior. You saw that God brought him to you by signs and wonders. You knew it, and you know it to be true. And look what Peter goes on to say. He says this, this man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Here is this man that some of you, hey, man, remember you were blind? Jesus healed you. Remember you were lame? Jesus healed you. Remember you did, and when the time came for you to stand up for the man accredited by God, what did you do? You lifted up your voice and said, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. That's what you did. You killed the Son of God. God's foreknowledge, God's purpose, but you were handed over, God's Son. And what did you do? You crucified him. Do you think that would win a popularity contest today if preachers did that today? What did he do? He called them out. He spoke the truth. He gave them the word. Everybody okay? Let's move ahead. He goes on to continue to talk about David and the prophetic word and that, okay, this was God's plan. This was God's purpose. He continues to unfold this. And then he gets ahead in verse 36. He says this, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, brothers, what shall we do? Look what Peter does. Verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Dear ones, we're again, the courage to be able to not only inside the building, but in our environment, to not speak the truth in anger or frustration, not to speak the truth to try to get your way or to manipulate or control, but to speak the truth in love, that if God's word says one thing and people are choosing another thing, that we love them enough to say, no, this is not how it is, because God's word says this. And with that, there will be persecution. With that, there will be ridicule. With that, there will be people who challenge and push back. With that, and in some places, there's actually violence that happens against the person of Jesus Christ and his message. See, when Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, you shall receive power to be witnesses, this idea of power is dunamis, and we carry dynamite. They didn't have dynamite in that day, but it's this supernatural power to be a witness. The word for witness is the word martyr. And that really bothered me. Who wants to be a martyr? But what Jesus is telling his disciples is that the life of Jesus, the message of Jesus, is so important in our lives that we have the courage, even if it costs our lives, to say the message of Jesus, even if there's consequences to those choices. That his life is more important than our lives. That his message is more important than our message. That what he says, even if it goes against the grain of society, that message is more important than us. And where does that the power to come from? It comes from the power of courage. And where does courage come from? It comes from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I was a sophomore in high school, English class. I remember to this day. Been raised in church my whole life. Sang all the songs. Did all the stuff. Played drums in the choir. Did all this. I was a faithful attender. But the English teacher asked this very simple question. How many of you here go to church? Simple question. And though I was raised in church my whole life, my hand stayed down while this little tiny girl sitting right next to me boldly goes, I go to church. And she was the only one. Now, I don't know if she's the only one who went to church, but she was the only one to have courage to say, I go to church. And I remember looking at this girl. And I used to be an athlete, thank you very much. I used to be an athlete, somewhat popular, but the testimony of just going to church and what people thought of me, what they thought of me was one more important just to identify, I go to church. And I remember that sophomore year saying, never again. Never again am I, if I have an opportunity, never again am I going to step back from this. So I can fortify myself and try to be strong in those cases, or I can do this. Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me today because I don't know what's ahead of me where I'm going to need the courage to stand for Jesus Christ in this day. I have no idea what the day holds. You have no idea what the day holds tomorrow. You have no idea what on Wednesday when you're going to need the courage to stand up and say, this is what Jesus Christ says about a situation. That's why one of the reasons why the Lord in my heart and Deb's heart led us to this thing. We need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to have courage to stand in our generation. Because dear ones, it's coming if it's not already here. And I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm just saying we need to be aware of this so that we're not caught off guard by this. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John heal somebody. And you would think someone who's been crippled for 40 years, there would be great excitement. Not everybody's excited about healing. Not everybody's excited about deliverance. Not everybody's excited about it. I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. As God brings healing through this house and through your hands, there are going to be people who are going to rise up and say you're a cult. And you know where it's usually going to come from? Religious people. That God doesn't fit into the theology. Now, our response to this, Peter and John show us how to respond to this. How do you respond to persecution? So we need to learn from them. So Peter and John heals this man. Remember, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk, okay? He goes walking and leaping. Remember the old song, walking and leaping and praising God? So he's going through the temple, and he's worshiping and praising God. And as that is happening, Peter and John see this crowd coming. So what do? They start testifying about Jesus. Now, the only problem is that Peter and John are the home turf of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they're not too happy about it. So what do? Here's this guy being healed. They call these guys out, put him in prison. Next day, they bring Peter and John before them, and they ask this question: by what authority and whose name have you done this miracle? Now look at verse chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, would you say these words out loud with me? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Read again, would you? That was kind of awkward. Yeah. Verse 8. Read out loud with me. Then Peter said to them, these guys were the most intimidating group around. These were the most learned. These were the most powerful. These men you don't mess with. But Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't start speaking in tongues to them. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up with boldness and said this: rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Now look what happens in verse 13. Peter presents the gospel to them, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Their education was not impressive. Their ability, their social standing, it wasn't what the people recognized. It was their courage. How did they have the courage to stand in a difficult situation? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. If you guys will give me, well, that's fast. Who made that faster than it really is? Thanks, Jeff. I'm going to tell you a story. It's not a political story, but it's a true story. I'm going to give you the abridged version. Candidate Trump came to Vegas in about 2015, 2016. And one of my friends, who is a pastor from our church, he was invited to this gathering of ethnic pastors, leaders. So there were Hispanics, Asians, African Americans. He was invited, and there were hundreds of them. And they were invited to come and be a part of this event. And Pasquale, who still is on our staff in Vegas, Pasquale is sitting in the back on a chair, and he's wanting to say something. He raises his hand, and he keeps getting put down. So he turns to an African American pastor, and he goes, you know what? We're going to rumble right now. Are you with me? And he goes, yeah, let's go. And so Pasquale, in the middle of this meeting, stands up on a chair, and he says, Mr. Trump, the answers you're looking for are found in the church. You need to go to the church because the church has the answers you're looking for. And sit down. Boldness, courage. After that meeting, there was a gathering of about 50 pastors, ethnic pastors in the city, and there was a tap on Pasquale's shoulder and says, Mr. Trump wants you to attend this meeting. He goes, okay. Right? And so there was a table. Pastoral leaders were talking to him, and Pasquale sits in the back and one of the assistants says, Pastor Pasquale, Mr. Trump wants you to sit in this chair. And it was right next to him. And Pasquale goes, I'm not sitting in that chair because there's TV cameras and there's newspaper cameras. And I know that when my face is right next to him, people are going to start. And they said, and this prophetess came up to Pasquale in the city and said, Pasquale, that chair's ordained for you. That is your chair. And he remembered about 3 years earlier, Chuck Pierce prayed over I don't know if you guys know who Chuck Pierce is. Prayed over he and his wife Norma and said, I see you have the Trump card. I see you have the Trump card. You have the Trump card. And he had no idea what it meant, except for this moment where, because of a bold and courageous act, Mr. Trump asked him to come sit right next to him. And then one of the pastors at this meeting who was sitting around the table said, Mr. Trump, this man has something to tell you. And he pointed to Pasquale. And Pasquale goes, here we go. He says, Mr. Trump, number one, the way in which you speak about the Hispanic people is derogatory. You need to change your language. Number two, When the Republican person came, Mr. Romney came, he didn't even come to Vegas. He didn't candidate here. But what Mr. Obama did was he threw a party for the Hispanics because we want to know people. We want to know our leaders. We're like family. That's important to us. Number three, you need to do that. You need to, if you want us to vote for you, we want to know you. You need to do something about it. And Mr. Trump turns to his aide and says, is what he said is true? And he says, it is. Mr. Trump threw a 3-day party with tamales and tacos and rice and beans and so forth and got to know him. Okay. So the election goes ahead and we know that Mr. Trump is our president. Right after the election, Pascual gets a phone call. This is the White House. Mr. Trump has asked you to come and be a part of a pastoral gathering to pray and give counsel about issues and needs. President Trump, I'm sorry. President Trump wants you to come and give counsel to him on the immigration issues, what's going on. And so every month now for about 3 years, Pascual goes at least probably once a month, sits at a table with the president, prays with him, and gives him counsel about the issues of our country. Okay, now, I am not pro this or pro that. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a liberal. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're red, green, blue, or purple. I don't care. The issue is this. One act of courage, one act of boldness, open a door where now the kingdom can bring influence into government. But it would never have happened if he didn't stand up and say, Mr. Trump, the church has your answer. We have the answer. And it's going to take courage and boldness for us to step in and step up into that. That even if people mock and ridicule and make fun of, even if they say you're all a bunch of hypocrites, you're a bunch of blah, 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 blah. And if that's what silences our voice, then we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be more of the Holy Spirit. Not to say, I'm okay. As you can see, I'm feeling this passionately. Let's close with a verse. Sadducees, Pharisees, and Sanhedrin, they threatened them, they said to the disciples, Peter and John, stop talking in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter and John says, judge for yourselves whether it's right to what we do, but we will not stop talking and preaching about Jesus. They didn't know what to do because the guy who was healed was 40 years old standing there. People were praising God, so they had to let him go. Here's what we do in the midst of persecution. It's found right here in Acts chapter 4. Verse number 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they asked, hey man, this is what we just went through. This is what just happened. Verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They didn't start going after the leaders. They went after God for the leaders. And in verse 29, we'll pick it up and we'll be done. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Who are the threat? The threats came from the religious leaders. In essence, God, you take care of them. We are asking you, you consider what they're threatening. You take care of them. We're not going to go after them. We're going to let you deal with them as you see fit. But then what about us? What do we do? And they said this, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What did they ask for? The very thing that got them into trouble. They said, this got us into trouble. We want more. Stretch out your hand through our lives. Let us see the healings and the miracles. And let us proclaim your word with boldness. That's what got them arrested in the first place. You take care of the leaders. We want more of the boldness. We want more of the miracles. We want more of your power. And here's how the Lord answered in this case. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Amen. They spoke the word of God boldly. Can I say just one more time? They spoke the word of God. Why? Because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord, I believe it's the Lord, I really do. For the last 6 months, or excuse me, 2 months, 6 weeks, there it is again. It's boldness, it's courage, it's strong. There it is again. I'm seeing it again, over and over again. I'm seeing the same thing over and over again. So okay, God, you got my attention. We're transitioning to churches. We got to be people of courage to do that. We've got a little bit of pushback, like, are you guys crazy? Or is Jeff trying to do a hostile takeover? And Mike, are you leaving the city? You can't believe some of the stories we're hearing, okay? It's nothing big. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like we're going, oh, God, consider the threats. It's not threatening. But I'm telling you guys, we know and believe in our heart that God is going to do something dramatic through the people of God. It's going to happen. Now, with that, there's going to be pushback. There is. What's our prayer? For those who push back, God, you consider them. Give us more. Give us more. Give us boldness. For some of you, you need to forgive somebody. You've been holding on for a long time. It takes courage to forgive. Well, what if they do it? It takes courage to do that. It takes courage, man. Write that tithe check. Well, what if happens to the economy? Write the tithe check. It takes courage. It takes courage to come and receive prayer and to keep believing that God's going to do something, even though you've prayed for it for years and nothing's changed. What are we going to do? Cower out and back up? No, that's not who we are. We're people of courage. It says, I have no other option but to go forward and to believe God to be people of courage. 4 to 5 years ago, I don't know what it is, and I'm done with this. 4 to 5 years ago, our church, Valley Christian Center, it was a courageous act where our leadership team said, we believe God wants us to offer this church to sell it, to sell the church. And here was the number one question that I received and I had myself. Where would we go? And here was my answer. I don't know. It would be like, Deb, we just sold our house. Where are we moving to? I don't know. But our church, yay, overwhelmingly said, we will follow God, even if we don't know where it leads. And I fully believe and convinced in my heart, because this church made that choice. September 29th, we're becoming Echo Hills Church. Because of an act of courage 4 to 5 years ago, God can say, let's move forward in what my plan is here. For Hope Chapel to leave downtown where they were called and to come up here as far away from downtown as you can get, move to a Sunday night, it took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage. That's why on September 22nd, we're throwing them a party saying, thank you for the courageous act. And for us to continue to learn how to do church differently, we have to have courage. And what are you facing right now that you need courage to do? You can talk yourself up. You can say, I can do it. But that only gets you so far. Scripturally, biblically, the way in which you walk in courage consistently is infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's not a one-time event. It's a daily, Father, I'm here again. I need more of you. Because I have no idea what I'm going to face today. But I want to speak your word with boldness. High schoolers, you're going on the campus. Come on, you need courage. Teachers, you need courage. You go to your job, you go to your neighbors, you go to your home where your family is not a follower of Christ. You need courage. You need courage. Maybe to have some conversations that are hard conversations. It takes courage. And we are not the type of people to back up and back out. We're not cowardly. We are not like this guy, hey, we're king of the West, right? And he's all bravado until it comes down to it. What do they got that I don't got? Courage. You're darn tootin'. We don't want to just sing the song. We don't just want to wear the outfit, the king's outfit. We don't want to just proclaim, yeah, we'll. What about a rhinoceros? We'll tell them from top to bottom us, right? We don't want just the lingo. We want people who, when crunch time happens, whatever happens, happens. You take care of that. Give us more. Would someone in the house today agree with me by saying yes and amen? Yes. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the command of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 5. That's what the promise Peter said will happen to you and your children, all who are far off, to whom God will call. I'm not going to get into the theology of it. Well, does that mean this? Does that mean that? No. Let's just take the Bible and do the Bible. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let Holy Spirit teach us the other parts of it. But one of the evidences is how you encourage. How am I encouraged? That is a real good marker for us. So here we're doing two things and we're going home. I told a friend of mine I'll probably be teaching till 3 o'clock because I haven't talked in a long time and I'm doing pretty good. It's 12:05. We did it during worship, but we're going to do this again. Would you close your eyes and lift up your hands to the Lord? Just close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the first is just receive him. Repent and you'll be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. What must I do to be saved? Repent, and we'll baptize you. Repentance is you change your way of thinking. Repentance is you're walking one way, you walk the other way. You walk toward the reality of Jesus. And if you're here, just do it. Repent. You're here, maybe you've become kind of just conformed to our society. You just You just kind of conform to the opinions and the way our society works. Hey, repent. Just repent for that. We have the truth. We have the way. It's Jesus. We have the life. It's Jesus. Let's don't compromise from him. Let's don't thank God. He knows what he's doing. And maybe you need to repent because you are not living in ways that you know God wants you to live. Well, have the courage to say, I stop today. No more today. Have the courage to do that. Or maybe you're just in life, it's just kind of days are going by. All of us need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So would you right now lift up your hands to the Lord and just say, Father, say these words with me. Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, we receive you, Lord. We receive you, Lord. More, Father. More that we would speak your word with boldness. More, Lord, that we would stand up when you call us to stand up. More, Lord, where we're martyrs. Our life is not as important as the life of Jesus. Empower us now in Jesus' name to be people of courage in Jesus. We're going to receive the Lord's communion. There are places in our world that that's a dangerous thing. You could die for that. I have a friend of mine who came off the field in Pakistan. He was the underground church in Pakistan. If that was seen in the open, in fact, there were people who died because they were followers of Jesus Christ. We're not there. Let's be honest. We might have somebody tweet something bad against us or Facebook something or social media. They're a bunch of wackadoos. Okay, whatever. But the enemy wants to silence the voice of the church. And he uses the same tactics over and over again. But God will not be silenced through his people. How does he do it? He empowers them with the God within us. And as we receive communion today, today is this day of maybe you cowered out at times. Maybe there's some things where you should have and you didn't. I love communion because it's a fresh start. It's a renew. His mercies are new every morning, but this is a reminder that every sin I have committed, even sins of passivity, sins where I should have and I didn't, even the sins where I stood up when I said something were not his word, but it was out of anger or frustration, God says, I'll forgive you. It's that reset. You're forgiven, Mike. Let's go. We don't have to carry this. We don't have to weigh on it. We don't have to have it on our shoulders. He forgives us, and he heals his people. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do as you receive communion today. We're going to ask you to come up. Darren's going to put some music on in the background, real soft. As we receive the communion, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Lord, would you give me a boldness like I've never known before? Would you give me a boldness not to compromise? Would you give me a boldness to be a witness of Jesus in this world in which we live in? And he will, and he has.
And so with that, Heavenly Father, we thank you that right now, standing before us in the form of juice and bread is your body and your blood. And we have an eternal relationship with you, Lord. And today we declare that as we take communion, we again are revisiting any relationship that we've made with sin. And we are severing it again through repentance and confession. And in that place, Lord, we thank you that you would fill us with that boldness, fill us with that courage, fill us with the awareness of revelation and understanding and wisdom, Lord, to go out into the world and to not be silent, to proclaim your blood, to proclaim your goodness, to do the works of the ministry, the signs and the wonders and the miracles, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, Lord, to see blind eyes opened and the lame walk in the name of Jesus because of our right relationship with you, Lord Jesus. You love us, you love us, you love us. And so we thank you for this opportunity. Amen? Amen. I want to invite those of you that are able to come on down, go ahead and grab the communion. If you need to stay in your seat, we would gladly come to you and make communion available. Otherwise, enjoy this opportunity. Take it. There's no rush. And we'll see you tonight if you're available to join us at 6 or next Sunday at 10:30.